And welcome back to another episode of the Truth and Transparency Podcast with your host, Brother X, and
the culture scientist.
What is that? What is wrong with you?
Because I legit was in mid-yawn, and it was my turn to talk. So, like, all I could do is giggle. Sorry.
So, we're going to get professionals eventually. We're going to get to
what's the y'all love us how we are.
I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, you be spinning. I mean, you be telling facts. You be factual. You be truthful and transparent. So here on the Truth and Transparency Podcast, we talk openly and honestly about everything in between, why people can't get right in 2022, as well as, you know what? I know we're going out of order, but before you do introductions, Mrs. Smith, can you pull up this commercial that we saw the other day before the end of our pre-show? Culture Scientist, I need your thoughts on this.
Lumi to the pea-sized amount of Lumi applied between your butt cheeks like this. I will demonstrate. Just kidding, I won't. Like this. We put Lumi to the test and compared it to a shower. 12 hours after a shower with soap and water, the average crotch has an odor score of 5 to 6 out of 10. 12 hours after a shower and applying Lumi, you're at a 0 out of 10. No odor all day. I'm not a mathematician, but I think it means that Lumi is infinitely more effective than a shower alone. So just take a shower or shower with Lumi and be 0 out of 10.
Any initial thoughts?
Number one, make sure you wipe your ass. In general, mm-hmm. Number two, is this another pink issue? Pink sauce problem?
No, it's not a pink sauce.
All right.
So
number three.
There's another.
I'm not opposed, like the logic behind, like the idea behind this, mm-hmm. but to last no water for 12 hours, what exactly are you putting on your body? We have to last 12 hours completely with not even like a small smell or something. Secondly, when they start whatever.
Or,
shut up, you know.
But
moving along.
Okay.
Whatever number I am on. When they first came out with like Summer's Eve and all that stuff for a woman to clean.
Right.
The concern is the pH level.
Right.
So again, my same question is going to come up is your body's pH level. That might not be healthy.
That's fair. So, I mean, just a little bit of context. Me and Mrs. Smith, we're finishing up our pre-show, and we're just waiting for some video to pop up. I think we're looking up a potential story. And literally, we're, like, both looking down, not paying attention. And we just heard that exact commercial come on. It was like, duh.
Now,
what in the world?
It would have been great if she would have showed you how to do it correctly.
I don't think they would show that on YouTube.
That would have been hilarious.
Wait, no. Maybe.
Don't put it
past nobody. I'm about to say YouTube do be showing some things on there. I don't personally know, but I mean I've heard through other people. Isn't that right, Mrs. Smith?
Me no habla inglés.
Ah. So yeah, that was something real quick. I'm sorry to get sidetracked, but you know, we're here. Shout out to the culture scientists looking as studious as ever, being prepared. I love you, baby.
Thank you.
Yes. All right. Yes, we are a happy black couple. We're happy. We're colored.
Boy, if you don't get...
Give me a high five. Insert the sound clip right there.
Womp, womp, womp.
All right. Okay, Mr. Bellum.
Hush.
All right. So, you know him. You love him. He's the most talented but laziest sound engineer in the business himself. AKA the crisp hairline poppy, AKA the do-rag assassin himself. Mrs. Smith, introduce yourself.
It's funny enough that you said that because that is pretty factual. It's like, talent is there, but I really don't want to do shit. He's just on.
Man, I know that.
And that's why we don't pay you.
That's not what I was agreeing to part on, but like the general sense, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. And you don't pay me because we're not going to say that. Anywho, it's your favorite.
We ain't got no money. Misappropriated funds.
But well, remember you. No, we're not going to do that. Black box. Anywho, it's your favorite.
We're not going to talk about that.
Yep.
The buried bodies stay where the buried bodies are.
Yep. So we're just going to go ahead and it's your favorite pet, Mr. Smith, also known as the Soundbite Poppy, also known as Mr.
Leroy.
And I want to thank all the listeners for the comments, the plays, the subscriptions. Keep feeding us. We'll keep feeding y'all. Of course, a few quick things. Number one, again, shout out to the Chaotic Culture Podcast for showing us love and support and getting the Amazon Music or Amazon Podcast, as well as iHeartRadio deal. Like, again, remember us when you make it big. You know, like, remember, just give a little something, something. Secondly, the Mega Millions had just passed. People at the time of this recording, it's probably been maybe almost a week. And, you know, if you were living under a rock, the Mega Millions had gotten up to $1.28 billion with a B, dollars.
Goddamn.
So somebody from Illinois won solo by themselves their ticket. Like, they don't have to share the pot with anybody. And they basically are going, if they take the cash out option, they're going to end up with $433.7 million after taxes. Now, Twitter in general was up in a roar because they was like, damn, the IRS is taxing billionaires, like people that win the Mega Millions, but they don't tax billionaires. And, you know, something that was $1.28 billion, you're only coming away with $433 million. People, let me say something. Only? Only $433 million?
Listen, right.
Just give me five. And I'm set. First of all, I don't want to be that person that would have a billion. I would, of course, everyone wants to strive to it. But then when you have it, nothing's fun anymore because you can just be like, if I want it, pay for it, done, whatever, bye. And then it just takes the fun out of it. And then number two, again, that's still life-changing money. Whoever got that, if they do it right, that sets their family up for generations. But that's neither here nor there.
Correctly? Yeah, man.
Yeah. Number three.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, Coach Sides, what are you about to say?
Oh, no, I just was agreeing with you.
Number three, there is a stock, because you guys know I sometimes is in the stock market. There is a stock called AMTD Digital. The tag is HKD that did an IPO 10 days ago. And when it started on the stock market, it was at $7.80. That's how much one share of us or one share was in that for that portfolio. It has been 10 days, and the high that this stock reached in 10 days, $2,000. That means that if you were to purchase one share at $7.83, and then you sold that one share at $2,000, you had a $1,900 return. That is unfathomable. And so, you know, it's probably doing the same bit as GameStop with the whole pump and dump, but right now, it's been going into 10 days, and it is, as of the time that we are looking at this, I believe it is still over $1,000. Yeah. It is still $1,100. That's insane. Like, I just feel so bad that I couldn't, you know, jump on this cashless opportunity. But if I did, y'all wouldn't hear from me again.
We'll be in the business of a new sound engineer after he breaks us off some, because he will finally have money, because he don't have money right now.
Yup. And finally, people, we've said this before, when it comes to birthday dinners, be reasonable with some of your requests. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just listen.
You should have paid for all of our food.
For one, I'm not paying for everybody's food. It's your birthday, cool, but I'm not doing that. It's 18.
Why don't you gotta pay for all y'all food, though?
You brought 18 friends. I'm finna leave you. You been here with him, or you coming with me?
Nobody wants a broke
nigga. Whoa, bro!
So, listeners, if you couldn't make out what was going on, a young lady, it's her birthday, so she had a, you know, a fancy birthday dinner, get dressed up, dolled up, all that good stuff. And she was expecting her man to pay, which, hey, not a problem. It's your birthday. Do you, boo, when it comes to him paying for you. However, she also wanted him to pay for all of her friends. Now, I'm looking at this video now, and I count at least 7 8 women. So if we do the math, you have about 7 to 8 women at Maggiano's. Just base price, you're thinking, let's just say each woman is about $30 per plate.
And he doesn't agree based on how she acted. So they each had at least 2 glasses of liquor, and they had an appetizer, and they had dessert.
Yep,
guaranteed.
So, I'm lowballing. $30 a person times at least 7 to 8 people. That is what?
2,100?
Yeah, 2,100. Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
$210 plus tax. And that's not even including what he's paying for himself. So, I need to understand why. Why is this a thing? And now, listeners, for the record, this video itself is a skit played based upon true stories. But I'm trying to understand, why is there a mindset of, oh, my nigga gonna pay for all of us? And it's like, but that is
a little real, real.
That's, yeah. So when me and Brother X were kind of looking at it the other day, it's one of those types of skits where it's like, shot in real and as like a real life thing, but you can kind of tell based on like how the camera's moving and how it pans perfectly to people. It's not really shaky. There's not really too much arguing. Like, there's arguing, but it's kind of a little bit scripted. And then when we looked at some of the other videos,
yeah, you could kind of like break it down. You start noticing, like, when we were talking about it, one of the things we didn't notice in the video was like, if they're talking about that bill out there and they're talking about, why didn't you pay, or like, you need to pay for them.
Right there at the end, right. She starts laughing.
Ultimately, they all have to-go bags, which means they have already left the restaurant, which means that if you're going to any type of restaurant, they're not going to just let you leave with to-go bags and you haven't paid the bill. So
yeah,
the bill was already paid.
Already paid for it and still be arguing about it in the parking
lot. No, but even then, that's still harder to believe that everybody's going to be there, because niggas is going to be, there will be a lot more yelling. There's probably some fighting, or homegirl would have left with her girls and would have left him there if she was really that upset. Not saying that she's right, but
yeah,
the whole point is that don't have this assumed or this entitled mentality that, yes, he may have it, but his commitment is to you in a committed relationship, not to your friends. If he does it, cool. If he doesn't, that's on you.
This reminds me, it's not as big as like this, but this reminds me of that one time where you nicely, there was a snowstorm, and Brother X was at my townhouse with me and my roommate, and Brother X went to clean off his car in my car, and then he said, I'm gonna be nice, and he cleaned off my roommate's car. The next snowstorm, homegirl had expectations. I thought, whoa there. He don't gotta do nothing except for me. So why you getting mad? So yeah, that's kind of falls into that category.
That's just my thing. And if I may, real quick, I know we gotta get through this very overextended intro. If you are going to have a birthday dinner, please plan accordingly. Know your friend group. Know how your friend group acts when you get in a big group, when you have group dinners. Because if you know your people and you know they're going to act some type of way, and this might happen, do not go to an expensive restaurant, or do not plan a big dinner at an expensive place where there's a lot of people. Because 9 times out of 10, they're going to put it all on one bill. And you know what's going to happen after that? People are going to say, nah, I only ate this, or I only got that. Nah, I'm not going to pay for that. Why are we splitting? I only paid for my 2 drinks and my salad. Ma'am, you was eating off everybody's plate, but you don't want to pay for it.
My
come on
now. I personally try not to go to restaurants that I personally cannot pay for myself.
Right.
Because it is just I'm not going to, money, and especially in the times that we currently are in,
right,
is a lot. So to expect somebody to pay for every single person without that being a discussed ahead of time is a problem.
Right. So.
But that's my 2 cents.
Yeah. Now that's a whole nother discussion for another day.
This could be a whole topic.
Really. Honestly, we might have to put that on the list. But Mr. Smith, you got anything with SportsCenter?
I do. Cue the music, as you would say.
Yes.
Okay, so I can run through these pretty quickly. Brittany Griner, as we always say, free BG. The Russian government and the U.S. are in talks about a prisoner swap, which last week we talked about the fact that they wanted to swap her for a Russian arms dealer. And then it comes out that they want to add another person who's a violent criminal to the trade. Like, nigga, this is not okay. I want Michael Jordan. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I want Michael Jordan and LeBron James, and I'm gonna give you a sponge and a dish rack. Like, what? How? How does this work? Or better yet,
it don't work like that.
Yeah, better yet. Oh,
really quickly, I'm just really proud that the culture scientist had a good reference. That's all I gotta say. A sports reference.
I was proud of you, baby. You get two high fives. There you go.
Continue.
But yeah, like I want to trade Michael Jordan and LeBron James, and I'm going to trade you Al Capone and, you know, the Son of Sam. Like, what? How does that transpire? It makes no sense. Last week I talked about Juan Soto of the Washington Nationals, who had rejected a 15-year, $440 million contract to stay with the Nationals. So they traded him to the Padres. And the San Diego, they traded him and Josh Bell. I think that's the person's name. Don't quote me on that. For like a crap ton of players. And honestly, I don't know who wins that trade, but I just know the Padres are going to be freaking ridiculous. So, yeah. Moving over to football news, the Dolphins apparently lost draft picks because they tried to tamper with Tom Brady when he was a New England Patriot. I'm trying to understand how not only did you lose out on the Tom Brady sweepstakes and he ended up signing with Tampa, but then you lost draft picks on top of that. It's like, damn, it's like you just get – you want to see a dead body? Okay, let me see you kill it again. Like, damn, that just –
Wait, so I have one question, though. You might be able to answer this. Mm-hmm. Some reports that I was reading was also saying that it had to do with the Brian Flores, where he was talking about the owner or someone, the president of the organization, was asking him to tank and to try to intentionally lose games, and they came out to be like that actually was true. Is that related?
It's no. They basically stated that there was inconclusive evidence that Brian Flores was told to tank. And basically these fines and the fines and the loss of picks is strictly for tampering with Tom Brady. So Brian Flores, which is what we expect from the NFL, was going to lose that battle because, again, if I forget what movie it is, but the quote is, how do you battle someone that owns a day of the week?
Concussion?
What's yeah. That? Yeah, it was okay. A concussion movie. How do you deal with an organization or battle an organization that owns a day of the week? And listeners, if you don't know, they own Sundays. Like, don't even try it.
Right, Sunday make more sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then lastly, the last two things. Marquise Brown.
Your favorite, Hollywood Brown.
You know, I'm chuckling so hard because.
Go ahead and get your victory lap.
I'm sorry, I have to. This man decides he wants to get traded. He gets traded to Arizona, so he could be with Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray then gets that massive extension. Everything seems good. Everything seems great. And then he gets arrested and charged with criminal speeding. And so now he was booked. I'm pretty sure they're going to, you know, put a slap on the wrist or whatever. But it's like, we avoided all of that nonsense and headache. So thank God. Again, when he starts dropping passes for y'all, I'm going to look at y'all like, this is what y'all wanted. Lastly, of course,
wait, we have real quick. So he was speeding in Arizona, right?
Yeah.
Where the hell is he going? Ain't nothing in Arizona.
Desert. I guess he said, fuck it.
Hey, my nigga, what? You trying to race the Roadrunner? You hanging out with Wile E. Coyote? What we doing?
I don't know. Maybe he might have been late for practice. Who knows? But either way, sucks to be you, buddy.
You was getting ready to drop something off?
I see what you did there. Yeah, I got to give you that one. That was good. That was good. Okay.
Like, that was off the top of the dome.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, that was a bar. That was a bar. Lastly, Deshaun Watson. If you've been under a rock, he has been accused of nonviolent sexual misconduct with his masseuses. He had about like 24 cases, and 20 of them ended up settling. So he had 4 cases left. So of course he has to go with the trial along with the NFL's interdisciplinary committee. Well, the NFL interdisciplinary committee, say that 5 times fast, decided, okay, your punishment for this is a 6-game suspension.
What in the fuck was that?
I'm baffled. I'm not even going to lie to you. I am baffled because you have people like Calvin Ridley who is suspended for a year for gambling. This man touched inappropriately women in 24 different cases in which some may be false, but until he is proved innocent, you tell me otherwise, he did something. And you mean to tell me you only gonna give this man 6 games?
Oh, he has trial privileges.
He has
athlete privileges, yeah.
Yeah, like that. That's some crazy shit. But so
Trump blatantly says grab the pussy.
So You're not wrong.
But see, Trump is one of them clear people that can say that shit and people just be like, oh, he was kidding. Deshaun try that shit, he get. he gonna get that PJ Washington treatment. Yeah. Or is it Miles Bridges? Miles Bridges. He gonna get my Miles Bridges treatment. All right, you out of here. But I guess the two things I have to bring up are, one, the audacity of two people to say that he should have been suspended and for a longer time, coming from Robert Kraft and Ben Roethlisberger. Robert Kraft said the independent arbitrator's 6-game suspension ruling is frankly an embarrassment for the NFL for a guy with that many sexual assault allegations. This is the same guy that got felt up in a massage parlor and a police raided it. So, yeah. Big Ben said Deshaun Watson should be banned from the NFL for life. You can't have sexual predators being the face of your league. Big Ben, yes. I'll let you go ahead. Go ahead. You got it.
Say, Big Ben, aren't you the same person that's had multiple rape allegations by multiple women across your career? Aren't you one that you have beat multiple cases, but it was never proven you were fully innocent? In the immortal words, Mr. Smith, go ahead and cue up the soundbite. In the immortal words of Dave Chappelle to Robert Kelly, nigga, how you gonna make a song about pissing? Nigga, how you gonna make a song about pissing?
Factual. So needless to say that the NFL has said, I disagree with your ruling, so we're gonna appeal it. And what the NFL is looking for is an indefinite suspension of at least 1 year plus. Partly one, because Deshaun Watson is only going to make like a couple million. I know it's scary. It's sad to say that only going to make, but remember listeners, he signed a 5-year, $230 million fully guaranteed contract. So next year he makes $46 million. So the NFL is trying to take some of that money, so that way it hits his pockets a little bit more. And then,
yeah,
huh?
They're like, how can we really make you learn your lesson?
Yeah. And then on top of that, you know, obviously the NFL is trying to really clean up his image, you know, with the whole racial diversity and trying to be for everybody. And this would hurt a lot of their women fans who think if they believe like, oh, well, the NFL is okay with, you know, this man having sexual misconduct with all these women. They must not like women. I'm going to mess up their, or I'm going to not watch them anymore. I'm not going to support them, which will then mess up their money, which then hurts their brand. So they're like, yeah, we got to get on top of this. So sorry, Deshaun, you a black man that they're going to make an example of. Well, at least that's what I'm thinking. Outside of that. Mm-hmm.
So part of the cleaning up the racial thing, does that have to do with Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah, no, because they already
cleaned that up. That was a whole, they fucked that up personally, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. No.
Okay, so make sure. I was just like, y'all could have did a better job handling that.
Oh, yeah. Which is why they settled out of court with him and gave him like a ridiculous amount of money, and then which is why you don't see him bring it up too much more. So
it's like, I'm going to be quiet. They pay me to be quiet.
Yep. And that's all for Mr. Smith Sports Center.
All right, play us out with the other copyrighted music. All right. Before we go any further, you know it's time. It's a favorite segment of the podcast sometimes. It is Now Mind You. And then Now Mind You, we talk about things in the story that you might find interesting or entertaining that we find on the internet and our life and our day-to-day stuff. First up, we actually have an update. If you listened to last week's episode, if you have not, go ahead and pause this episode, go back and listen to that, run up those numbers, share it with your friends. Shout out to those we were just talking to about the podcast. Hopefully you guys are listening to this episode by the time this comes out.
Hey.
All right, so this reads, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Smith, you got this one.
Brooklyn Bishop, who was robbed at gunpoint during sermon, allegedly stole $90,000 from a member of his congregation. So the story goes, according to reports, the flashy Brooklyn pastor robbed on live stream earlier this month for his jewelry has been accused of stealing more than $90,000 from a congregant. Now, listeners, if you don't remember, when he got robbed, him and his wife together alone's jewelry was $400,000, which,
right.
We gonna say misappropriation of funds much? So there are allegations that Bishop Lamora Whitehead has a history of grifting and even served prison time for identity theft and grand larceny. In a November 2020 lawsuit, Pauline Anderson claimed that the Rolls-Royce driving pastor persuaded her into spending her life savings, giving him the $90,000 as an investment with the promise that he would purchase and remodel a property for her. Whitehead also agreed to pay her $100 a month since her savings was her primary income source. Now, I'm going to just pause right there and say, dog, that's fucked up. Just want to put that out there, but we're going to keep it going.
Wait. He said $100 a month for $90,000. So no, you're no, telling no. me.
No. She gave him $90,000 and then $100 a month from that.
So it was a $100 a month payment to him?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. I thought it was the other way around. I'm like, he said he's going to pay you $100 back off of $90,000? Dog, you're going to be dead by the time you get all that.
Yup. So the lawsuit claims that Anderson allegedly only received one money payment from Whitehead in January of 2021. Whenever she asked about her house's status, Whitehead told her he was campaigning for Brooklyn borough president. Now, $90,000 you got just sitting in your savings account for an investment on a house, and just, I mean, more power to you, but he played you. Two,
I went to a real realtor.
I can't
really have sympathy for the bishop anymore. Like, if this is really what it is, and maybe this might be, you know, stories trying to spin in order to paint the guy in a bad picture. I don't know, but that's a lot of money that you pretty much took from this woman. But it's not to say what she did or whatever. We don't know all the sides of the story, but based off what we see, this ain't looking good, Chief.
Dog, there is a lot of smoke, and there's definitely some type of fire. And it's just a shame that we see this constantly happening with the church and other places like that, because it's like, dog.
That's part of the problem why people don't come.
Like, you are part of the, you are the example that you're making. Like, it's like when Black people make a mistake, it's not like you just represent yourself. You represent all the Black people.
It's you're not, but that's the truth.
It is a very harsh reality that we're living. But, yeah, so just kind of, just if you want to keep up with that stuff, definitely check it out. You can check it out in our show notes. We have the link to that as well. Now, this was shared to me. I was watching, I was scrolling through the gram, and I came upon this very interesting video. So, Mr. Smith, can you just go ahead and play it for the culture scientists?
All right, so, Melissa, your son is, the father's Black, you're white, and he'd never mentioned issues with race before, you're saying? What exactly changed?
Right, we didn't have issues before. He's in eighth grade. They introduced this critical program, and now he's having racial issues that was not there before.
What kind of racial issues is he having?
Well, he's seen himself just as a Black man. He's seen things that don't go his way as racism, and he's finding safety in numbers now.
So when you're saying he gets a bad grade at school, he blames racism, or a girl rejects him on a date, racism. Are those the kind of things you're seeing?
Yes. I ask him to clean the house, racism. Yes.
You're kidding, right? Are you serious?
No, I'm serious.
Coach Scientist, you have a very Black, judgmental mother look on your face right now. Melissa, would you like to share your thoughts?
Every Black person in America experiences or recognizes their Blackness.
Yeah.
It may not be as obvious, and this may have been the opportunity for your son to learn a little bit more and express himself a little bit more. And what it sounds like he's doing is playing you. And he's playing on your white guilt as his mother. And he knows Black children are, if you're not raising your child to be aware of their Blackness, you are failing your child as a white mother.
Agreed.
Because if you want to walk, that's kind of the same concept for me when people say, oh, I don't want to go to an HBCU because that's not how the world looks. That's fine. That's, you are 1,000% correct. That is not how the world looks. However, HBCUs play a vital role for some people in the discovery of who they are, the ability to be able to be around people who look like them, who might talk like them, who might be a little bit different, but look physically, skin tone, like them. So this mother, for her to say that him learning this thing is causing him to become, to blame everything on racism, sounds like he's a little bit smarter than you're giving him credit for. And he's playing you, in my humble opinion. And you sound like a dumb, no offense to all the other Caucasian people who listen to our podcast, but get your friend.
Honestly, it was one of the things that I was listening to. I was like, one, obviously, I look on the video. Listeners, you can't see this, but this was shown on Fox News. So you already know. Yes.
I just also feel like the anchors were really trying so hard not to laugh.
Mind you, again, this is on Fox News. So if you got people on Fox News saying this, and they're laughing at her response and her telling the story, and it's almost like, it's like you can't even write this stuff. Like, you just call somebody up to make up this story, to be on television, to push your rhetoric, which is a whole nother reason why I don't watch Fox News, because it's just dumb and asinine. But it's just like, where did you get this from? Like, ma'am, what did you think was going to happen at some point? Did you think your son was ever not going to realize he was a black man?
That part.
Like, when was this going to happen? Like, my man was going to realize one day he can't just have his food unseasoned, or he has to put on lotion, unlike you. When was this, like, did you not think there was going to be some type of racial awakening in him at some point? Going to take him being arrested for him to realize, oh, he's Black and he's treated differently? Where did you think this was coming from?
When he got pulled over by the cops?
Damn!
Is that when you wanted your son to realize his race? Because that's not the prime opportunity for him to sit here. And what he will do is pull your white privilege.
And realize very quickly and very realize he's not very white. Quickly.
You need to, Caucasian people, people of other races that are raising other race children.
Yes.
And I'm talking about all races. I don't care if you decide to adopt a child that is Chinese, Japanese, Black, whatever. You need to teach them about their culture and you need to teach them about where they're coming from and how society sees them so they're actually prepared for the future. If you continue to teach how this woman clearly was teaching.
Or lack of teaching.
Or being oblivious to her child. Again, he may not have been fully aware until this happened. But it was going to happen at some point. And I really curious about the relationship with the child's father.
Right.
Because you might not be teaching this, but he might be teaching it to your child and you are unaware.
And like you... Like, the whole concept of, I'm the exceptional Negro and I'm above all this.
It's going to get him in trouble.
It's going, I hate to say it, it might end up getting him on a t-shirt. To be honest.
I might want to have it too.
That too. Mr. Smith, did you have any thoughts before we move on?
Basically, just the fact that, as you guys have said it best, I honestly just want her to understand, like, when you're raising a Black son, there's more protocols that he needs to understand. And you may think to yourself, oh, well, you know, he didn't have all these thoughts of thinking everything was racist until he learned critical race theory. But as the culture scientist said, he was going to learn this eventually, whether it's him getting pulled over by a cop because his tail light, I'm using air quotes, his tail light is out, or whether it is him getting nasty looks in sundown towns or whatever. You cannot protect your baby from everything in this earth. And if you want to do him a great service, you need to teach him about not only the good of America, but also the bad of it in order for him to have the lessons learned. I think the saying goes, a smart man learns from his mistakes. A wise man learns from others.
Message.
If you want him to be that loving son that you know you can teach, tell them about everything and let them and make sure that they understand the lessons that are learned from that so that they don't repeat the same mistakes. And stop blaming critical race theory and understand. Just listen, clear people, own up to what the hell you did, okay? The Russians or the Germans, they did that with the Holocaust. Everybody else has done it. You're the only people that's like, well, slavery was so long ago. You don't affect it. Shut up. Just shut up. Shut up, give us reparations, and just own up to your mistakes, please.
Just to make sure I understand completely, critical race theory is basically discussing about race in America, correct?
From basically reflecting on how race plays a role in the creation of America and its influence.
Oh, so the history of America.
Yes, exactly.
And so they're mad. Let me just make sure.
Yes.
I'm going to get on my soapbox for a moment.
Uh-huh.
So y'all mad?
Yes.
Because we are teaching
yes.
the actual history
yes.
of how America was built. Uh-huh. And I'm not even talking, and so I'm hoping, does critical race theory also include the Native Americans? Because I feel like that should also play a role, although that's a whole other issue we could talk about, you know. Mm. We can talk about how Black people, Africans are racist to African Americans. But we're not talking about that. Uh-huh. They own up to it in the movie, don't they?
Yes.
It's coming out. Yeah, you know?
I believe so.
Come on, America. Mm-hmm. Get your life together and stop complaining. Stop feeling like a victim and stop feeling like a hit dog. Every time you complain, it sounds like a hit dog is hollering. Shut up. I'm dead.
All right. And off the soapbox. All right. So we're gonna go ahead and switch lanes to people not owning up to stuff a lack of actual like support in certain things. Mrs. Smith, do you have the clip? Culture scientists, I really want you to pay attention to this because I need you to explain what's going on with your peoples.
Dramatic video into our newsroom overnight showing the mess along the Las Vegas Strip.
No. Oh my.
$1,000 right there.
Yeah, this is at the Circa Casino, one of the newest ones in Vegas. You can see water pouring through the monitor screens and ceilings. There were flooding issues.
Circa?
Take a look at this video from late.
All right, continue.
Circa? That's what we went to the.
Yes, I'm aware. We was going to talk about it. All right, Mrs. Smith, continue the clip.
Last night, you see several people being rescued from their cars. That water really deep there. Along with the rain, the National Weather Service says there were winds stronger than 70 miles per hour at times.
So, as a resident, Henderson resident, what are your thoughts about this?
Flooding happens everywhere. People need to learn how to avoid the flood areas. However,
yes.
To the actual point of like the hotel flooding.
Yes.
This, what y'all cannot see,
listeners,
is this most is a screen like in one of the, so when you go in a lot of casinos, if you have not been to Vegas, when you go in the casinos, there's a lot of television screens around the different casinos.
Right.
And they play different things. So this looks like it's one of the stock exchange ones or the sports people. I think it's the sports section area. Right. It's one of the screens, like we can bet and stuff. And one of the screens is really black and water is pouring out of it. And like, that sucks. So to that part, how did y'all build Circa? Circa is a great hotel, by the way, though. So yes. It sucks that this happened to this particular hotel.
I mean, if you want to sponsor us and an episode
because
of the podcast,
I like Circa.
We'll take that.
But
a free trip, stay in your hotel.
That sucks, though.
Yeah, we would take donations. All right.
I went in a cabana at Stadium.
Hey, just gotta let them know you for have not because you ask not.
I've been sending people y'all away for a couple months now. Okay.
You should have sent a construction crew to them. Is what you should have sent.
Apparently.
But yes, no, it was one of those things that I found very interesting because it's like I remember it all started for me hearing about the story was a meme of a dude literally sitting at one of those slot machines. And it's like pouring down. Me was talking about it's like when you have the lucky machine, but it's pouring down rain
and not coins,
right? And you're not moving one inch.
I wish it was coins. That would now if that was coins, everybody would be running up there.
I don't know, man. That might take some people out. That'd be a heavy rainstorm.
It would be,
Mr. Smith. You got any thoughts about this?
So usually when I think of the West Coast, like Vegas and Cali, I always think of especially during this time in the summer. You know, droughts, wildfires, all that stuff. I ain't never heard of Vegas being flooded. Granted. Well, that's what I'm about to say. Granted, I don't live there and I don't usually get
it's
their
like
news. But...
snow. We don't get snow.
Okay, you just blew my mind. I didn't think y'all got snow.
Oh, let me find. Listeners, I'm going to send a picture to be included in this episode of snow in our little. Me and my parents makeshift little snowman in the backyard. Yes, we used all of the snow, but we had snow.
Did you have to go to the store and buy some?
Shut up. We had snow. Continue.
Did you put it on layaway?
I'm done with y'all. But no, like I agree. Like it's insane. And this really just goes to show like climate change is real. You know, mm-hmm. Like we didn't used to get all this stuff back when, you know, the culture scientist, Brother X and myself were growing up in the 90s. Like, you might have got like a, you know, once in a blue moon thing, but this thing sounds like it hits like every year now. And right. Whether it's a flooding here or, I mean, we know about the Tornado Alley, that's fine. But hearing about wildfires more so and flooding, like climate change is real, people. And, you know, just stay prayed up is all I got to say for that. But sheesh. You listen, when they say the water's deep, don't even try it because you're going to get stuck. When you get stuck, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, man. So that's just really crazy. And before we go forward, we have to, not necessarily we have to, but it would be remiss if we didn't talk about Beyonce and her milkshakes. I'm sorry, Khaleesi's milkshake and the controversy of that. So listeners, for those who don't know, there's a hubbubaloo or some drama. Yes, I use hubbubaloo. Don't worry about that. I've been in my bag. I have my word of the day calendar again. So there's just some drama going on between Beyonce, well, Khaleesi, and I guess with herself, because Beyonce hasn't come out and actually said anything.
I personally don't think Beyonce truly cares.
She probably doesn't. She's counting her money. But basically, there is a song on her recent album, Renaissance, which I'm still listening through. I'll reserve my thoughts for another episode. Maybe we get Cut the Pro on here to talk about it. So there is a whole drama about one of the songs in particular. I believe it was Energy. Is a song that was in question that was actually used, or it was sampled from the song Milkshake by Khalees. Now, a little bit of history, because we do some research on this. Apparently, and I might get some of the facts mistaken, but excuse me, I don't really keep up with this stuff. Milkshake, the history behind Milkshake is actually kind of really fucked up. There's some drama, or like the copyrights, or like the rights to the song, which should be by Khalees, but because of the contract that she signed one of those Death Row deals, where I believe it was Pharrell and his producer partner of the Neptunes, correct me if I'm wrong, if anybody knows that, they actually own the rights to that song, so she doesn't get any credit or like any like the proceeds from that, which is already unfortunate in general. But then it's proceeded to be sampled again in the song Energy by Beyonce, where Khalees came out on social media and basically kind of talking about it, expressing her frustration with it. Not necessarily saying that she should get paid by it, because she understands the deal that she signed, and it's her bed, she has to lie in it. But from what it sounds like, maybe it's my bias, or maybe it was from what I read, it wasn't necessarily that she wants this big grandiose thing or credit for it, for the song. Is that she just wanted like one of those courtesy calls of, hey, I'm thinking about using this particular beat. I know this is going on with this song and how that may affect you. Hey, is it cool? Not because Beyonce has to, because Beyonce don't really got to ask anybody for any music. She just buy your whole catalog if she wants it. She'll buy your masters if you keep playing with her. Put you in a rap song. Word to Kendrick. So I mean, it was one of those things that she was kind of helping for. So it just kind of expanded to the point where Beyonce recently, as of yesterday at the time of this recording, has removed said song from the album, I guess digitally. Because if you bought a hard copy, you still have it. I would say, I don't know if she got that type of power. So it was just a big stir, and there's people on different sides of it saying that, oh, she don't have to call Khalees for anything. True.
But it's technically Khalees' song.
It's one of those things. It was like, hey, from one woman, from one artist to another, I know what's going on. I get it. Is this cool? I know this might feel some type of way. It's like, if you are like...
Better yet, she could have had Khalees come on there with her.
Yeah, she could have. I mean...
Like a lot of artists be doing, instead of just taking their song, hey, come on here with me. Right. But again, it's Beyonce.
Like, now, one thing I want to say is that I do not subscribe to the philosophy that any artist, especially if you are a fan / fanatic of them, can do no wrong. As big of a J. Cole fan as I am,
he ain't perfect.
He is nowhere near perfect. He even says it in his music. I'm not going to ever like always defend him, no matter what happens, that he's always in the right. That's not real. Like, this all adds up, never meet your idols, or never meet your heroes, because they're going to let you down. So in this case, I'm like, is it a very real possibility that Beyonce could have done something and she didn't? Yeah. Could Khalees have handled it differently? Yeah. But Khalees had her point of view and her goal of what she was trying to get across, which I really don't think it was even about this particular song by Beyonce. It's about the whole issue with her song Milkshake. What do you think, Coach Scientist?
I'm on your page too, but at the same time, I'm also feeling like Khalees, we don't know if she attempted to talk to reach out to Beyonce ahead of time.
True.
And be like, hey, this is bothering me. Because I'm also a firm believer of, sometimes don't take your grievances to social media. And yeah, I'm all for Khalees, because I like Khalees. I love Khalees. But at the same time, was this the proper way to go about it? And if you already attempted to reach out, then ignore everything I'm saying. Right. But I feel like, to get your grievances across, as we're saying, from one woman in the industry to another woman in the industry, hey, this is an issue for me, that you did, this is what happened. and I felt like it could have been a courtesy without her having to physically go on social media and telling the entire world.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, are you trying, I'm not saying that she is, mm-hmm. but are you trying to taint Beyonce? Because like, people have enough. But the same, and then my two cents to that is, Beyonce just be chilling, to be honest. And I respect that. I am not a part of the Beehive. I respect the Beehive for what y'all are. I respect Beyonce for the artist that she is. But I'm not the person that if I'm going to my phone, when I'm going to go pick a song, I'm going to go pick a J. Cole song or a her song before I go pick a Beyonce song in this current time of my life. Let's put it that way. And people need to be okay with that. And I feel like people put Beyonce a little bit too high, and a lot of our artists, I'm just using Beyonce as an example, on pedestals. They are human too.
Yeah. Ms. Smith, do you have any thoughts about this?
Just quickly, I mean, you guys knocked a lot of it out the park. Basically, the song, the Milkshake song, Khalees doesn't own the song. She's not credited as a writer or producer. So Pharrell and Chad Hugo can do whatever they want with it, which in turn, Beyonce did go through the proper channels and saying, I want to sample the song. Pharrell's like, okay, that's cool. But at the same time, yeah, I felt like, you know, there could have been a heads up that Beyonce could have done to be like, hey girl, just so you know, I'm going to use your sample your song. And I'm sure Khalees would have been like, I'm about to be sampled by the queen. I'm good, straight. But at the same time, again, Beyonce just put the work in, and after that, she's just like, all right, I'm chilling. You don't see nothing from her social media. You don't see nothing from her in the tabloids. People be trying to throw, paparazzi be trying to throw everything but the kitchen sink at her. She just be like,
it bounce off her, yo.
It'd be like, I'm going to get into my bulletproof Rolls Royce and drive the hell off. And then Jay-Z's like, yeah, me too. Like, even the kids are like, yeah, I don't know, y'all, so I'm going to go here. Like, it just nothing really affects, which is what I'm really appreciative of from Beyonce from an artist perspective, is that she doesn't really just talk about it. She just like, I'm gonna put stuff out, whatever y'all deal with it is what y'all do. And I mean, granted, off of the Carter's album, off of Nice, where the lyric that she says, people are waiting for my demise, if I gave two fucks about streaming numbers, I would have put Lemonade up on Spotify. She's like, she does not care what y'all think. Like, she's just said it multiple times.
Right.
She don't.
And that's
she
how just I said feel it. About. Sorry.
I know you good. Go ahead.
I was gonna say that's how I feel about the album. Like, a lot of people don't like the album. It's actually a decent album. It's a good album. But it does not for everybody. And Beyonce is at the point in her career where she's like, I can do what the fuck I want, and keep it moving. Like when Lemonade came out, people didn't like Lemonade. I thought that was her best album because she fully embraced herself. And that's basically what she is doing. Mm. And like, if we take any lesson from Beyonce, it is be yourself. And when shit pop up, do what you need to do to handle it without making a big scene. Like this example where she just said, delete, and kept it moving.
Yeah. So That's the whole thing. So we're going to go ahead and move on real quick. We're going to kind of run through some of this just because of time's sake. We actually do have a Black Business Highlight this week. I know we've taken a little bit of a break from that, but I've had to accumulate some new resources, find some new things. This week's Black Business Highlight is going to be Terry Huddleston Art. He's a Black-owned comic book and like artist designer that I actually had the pleasure of meeting when I was working GalaxyCon this previous weekend. He's produced phenomenal work both in the Marvel, DC. He's done quite a bit in all the different realms. He actually produces like high quality artwork that you can actually purchase both on his store and at any of the Comic Cons that he has been a part of. He's been at places such as San Diego Comic Con, which is one of the biggest ones in the United States, as well as New York Comic Con.
Oh, he's famous.
I'm about to say he has phenomenal work. We'll make sure to share his information in the show notes. You can check him out on his website at terryhuddlestonart.com. You can also check him out on Instagram under the same name, all one word, Terry Huddleston Art. So definitely check him out if you're interested in that. Get you some Black artwork. That's always phenomenal to put up in your room or your office or at your house. So we've talked quite a bit, and I think we mentioned it in previous episodes that we were on a trip recently. With all jokes aside, we actually had this really dope time. So I wanted to take some time in this episode to actually kind of discuss and bring up our thoughts about, like, our quick recap. So I guess we'll start off with highlights. Anything that stuck out to you that was an enjoyable about the trip?
You are staying at Planet Hollywood in Cancun. And you do not know, you can go, they have the spa. You can go every morning to the water spa.
Dog.
Somebody should have let us know.
Yeah, I was mad. The math wasn't mathing because I was thinking about it on my ride here. And I was like, you said that and it didn't fully register at the time. And then I was like, huh, really?
So my highlight was the spa in general was amazing.
Right.
It was my first time truly doing a spa, so I got to check something off my list. Where you got to go through like the water. I will say the cold water parts.
Dog, that cold bath.
Trash. And there's a part where like a bucket fall, like you pull the string, and you know that water's in that bucket.
Oh, you mean that bucket, huh? And are you really talking about this, huh?
So my mental capacity said, well, he's my man.
So
I stood behind him.
What she's not telling you is that said bucket that you have to pull down for the water that's supposed to go on the top of the both of you. Guess who got all the water?
You didn't get all of it. I got some. Barely.
Off the top of my head. But
it was a little cold and I was scared.
So you throw me to the cold water.
Because you're my man.
So you pull a Jack from Titanic protector. Is what you did.
You're my protector.
Rose, the water was so cold.
You are my protector. I knew it wasn't going to
kill you. How was I going to protect you from cold water?
Well, first off, listen, we're going to talk about Titanic. Rose murdered him because there was room on that plot on that thing for the both of them.
Agreed. So you're agreeing that you
were. I did not murder you
because you threw me under the proverbial water bus.
See, you're taking it that far.
I'm just saying this is what you are telling the audience. I need you to tell the whole thing.
Anyways, there was also a cold bath where the man said it's supposed to open your pores. Now this is after we've been in a jacuzzi. We've been in a nice water bath for a couple hours, like different portions, like hit your back, little jets hit your back. You have a little water hitting your shoulders and your neck. It's getting you all loose and ready for your massage. You get out of that, and then they tell you get in this cold ass water bath. No. What?
You want to talk about chilling up my spine? Mrs. Smith, didn't you do it?
I ran.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, listeners, the first thing they put you in this little sauna, which I ain't gonna lie. You want to talk
wait,
about
wait.
That shit nice.
Wait.
That shit
y'all
nice.
Got the sauna.
I got the sauna and
Brother my... X did not get a sauna nor the steam room.
The sauna and the steam room? You got the steam room too?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that shit y'all nice. Got it. My man said, yeah, put this robot and come out to the pool.
I said, oh, this I like the sauna.
Dog, no. I was so excited I found that out. It's like, wait,
trust me.
Y'all got the sauna and the steam room? I thought that was extra.
Trust me. I felt like I was melting in that bitch. The sauna wasn't too bad, though. I'm not gonna lie. The sauna was cool. That steam room, there was a couple times I had to put my head out the door to be like, I can breathe.
Oh, really?
Hey, oh yeah. Like, kept me in there.
I mean, sorry. Coach of Scientist, some of us don't like to boil like a lobster.
I wasn't in there for that long. That's why I'm asking how long was he in there for?
I was in there for about 8-9 minutes.
Okay, I think I was a little bit less than okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, that was fine. But then once we got to that first jacuzzi, oh, I could just be in there for... If you could just put me in there with a drink in my hand, yeah. I don't need that to happen.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
That was the epitome of Black people magic, joy, whatever you want to call it. I just felt like everything is right in the world. It's like, somebody got shot.
I do want to point out that me and Brother X went in the morning, and then we did breakfast right after.
Dog,
that was amazing.
That was the best breakfast.
So my recommendation is do not do midday. Either do early morning or do evening, because Mr. Smith did the evening, and then they went straight into dinner. But if I did the evening, I would have wanted to go to bed.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm going to sleep. I'm falling asleep. They're going to have to carry me. They're going to have to wheel me to my room.
Because that food was great afterward. I was like, this is nice.
Oh, so yeah, that's
not. Yeah, so that was your highlight. I guess we do a quick run through.
Oh, my other highlight was the Lazy River.
Oh, yeah.
I was very happy. I was intoxicated with things. Mm-hmm. And I got to float. And I spent, that was one of the one times I spent actually like a little bit by myself. And I got to go around the lazy river and just relax. And in the words of Mr. Smith, I looked extremely content.
Yes. That was the fastest lazy river I have ever seen. Oh, man. But I think, Mr. Smith, do you have another highlight before I kind of run off what the gist of the trip?
The steakhouse, which shout out to Miss Bellum. I know you're listening. She got us into the steakhouse of the listeners. That was the best damn steak I've had. That shit was fire. But of course, the only other highlight I have, which I'm sure Brother X will bring up, and it is, and of course, listeners, this is what you saw the title of this episode. That Brazilian steakhouse was trash. But that grilled pineapple. Oh, my God. That grilled pineapple.
So, listeners, let me put my storyteller.
Did you know Brother's here is clothing?
Mrs. Smith, cut this from the episode.
I'm sorry. That's related to what you were talking about. Continue.
Please cut this from the episode. All right. So, I'm going to put my storyteller hat on. Now, this isn't a black box story because there's other pieces that we can tell to the story. So basically, the rundown is that we got in on a Wednesday. Everybody's got to their rooms. Everybody changed. Most of us to everyone who was on the trip. We was like, okay, cool, bet. We had been telling everybody. We've been like, bigging up Guy Fieri's Burger Bar. And that fucking
chicken strips in the room.
Yes, Ghost Sciences was not with us. So myself, Mrs. Smith, and the rest of our crew rolled down, walked, and found the burger bar because we wanted that donkey sauce. Now, listen, if you have never been on a Carnival cruise or ever been to Guy Fieri's Burger Bar, shout out to y'all if y'all want to sponsor us. I will do commercials for the donkey sauce with no problem.
No problem.
I promise you, it'll be phenomenal. Yeah.
We're talking about it on the entire plane ride.
I just knew that's what I was going to get. So we get there. We get the donkey sauce. Everybody's good. Everybody's ate. Everybody's fed. Everybody's like, yeah, we get it now. So we did that. Changed, rolled up to the swimming pool, which anybody that's been to an all-inclusive resort, you know, that's the meetup spot. We told enough stories. Now, if you listen to our Black Box series, you've heard about some of the infamous swimming pool stories. So we get there, we're drinking, we're having libations, everybody's having a good time. Shout out to Mrs. Smith for being honest about them drinks because them shits was sugary.
Mm-hmm.
And their pre-arranged taste funny.
So as we're chilling there at the pool, everybody's kind of fellowshipping, feeling the vibe, listening to music, which the music was interesting, to say the least. We'll keep it that way.
But we're black and we brought our own.
We did. Shout out to Mr. Smith for his speaker. So we're just chilling there. And then we decided to catch a flight. For those who know, you know. And we're chilling there. Now, mind you, listeners, this Brother X has a policy. When he has when he's not feeling it or he feels like he needs to go lay down, he go lay down. No matter what the situation. So after chilling at the pool for quite a bit, Brother X realizes, yeah, I need to go ahead and lay down. We getting changed. We're gonna get ready to go to Braza, which side note listeners, yes, there's a pineapple, and y'all can talk about it when we get to it. Yeah. I never got the pineapple. Let's just leave it that way.
Nope.
So, dog, when I tell you,
he came to the table.
I plopped into the chair. I met up at the bar because I was drunk.
I did almost fall at Bronzo's, though. So when I walked into the cold to get to the cold bar, like right as soon as I stepped into it, my shoes, I slipped. And like I paused. And like, you know how girls, you know, you kind of stand in a triangle position. So I kind of, my legs were, I caught myself and I kind of just froze my hands out. And there was a table in front of me. And they were like, you good? I said, I think so. And they were like, yeah, it's slippery. I said, I think. And, you know, and that's when I dropped the thing when you walked up to me.
So, listeners, rewind slightly. As I meet everybody down in the lobby, like we change, we get ready for dinner, go to Braza's. We are put our name down on the list. I'm already filling all the drinks. I'm at cloud 9. So I literally am like done. Like if you listen to our Black Box series, I wasn't Cheshire Cat grinning and swaying, but I was like damn near close. So literally from there,
no,
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mr. Smith had that. He'll tell about that part. So I'm down there. We're drinking. I realize I need to go lay down. I go back to the room fully dressed. Didn't change. Lay down on the bed. Done. Knocked out. I was going to sleep for like 40 minutes, wait for them to call me to let me know that the reservation is ready. Listeners, I went to the restaurant after kidding up. I was like, okay, I think I'm good. I it's manageable. Dog, when I got to the restaurant, I plopped in the chair like Coach Scientist said. I realized very quickly, I need to go back to sleep. I need to go sleep this off. So I get up. And what here's
the 5 minutes.
I get up. They're all the other people are at the bar. I get up. I walk around. Like, I'm moving like a ninja. Like, I'm walking around people. I pull up on the Coach of Scientist like, hey, baby girl, what's your name? No, I literally came up to her. I was like, hey, I need to go sleep this off. I'm going to the room.
Mind you, the other girls were like, who's got walking up on you?
They had no idea it was me because, like, I was just in a drunken stupor where I was, like, zoned in. Like, I need to focus on getting to her, and that's it. So I tell her that I go past the fuck out. There is a gap of time where I went upstairs on the Black sitcom, and I didn't come back down for the rest of the night. Does anybody want to explain what happened with the pineapple, though?
I got that one.
I was there from the beginning. You can finish it. But I was there from the very beginning.
Yes.
First off, they really weren't serving the food on the sticks until everybody was there. So not everybody was there. So they were slowly giving us food.
Right.
So that also played into the role of the bad experience, right. Essentially. Mm. The cold food options were not that great. There was like a couple food options that were good. The steak that came, they finally came around with steak. The chicken came around. It was just slow. It was like 2 hours of us waiting for food. So when me and Mr. Smith are having a complete conversation by ourselves.
Nonverbal.
It was great. And then because the steak would come out, they would bring him the chicken. So the people that already came to me, they were bringing to him now.
Right.
And then they came out with pineapple. Mm. And as soon as we tasted the pineapple, every single one, last one of us was like, bring us more. And then they were supposed to bring us dessert, but I guess because we asked for more pineapple, they were like, nah, you ain't no need no dessert. Mm. But it was so bomb. I will let Mr. Smith actually explain the pineapple.
Yeah. So after, you know, I was sitting next to our homeboy and
y'all were ridiculous. You know,
his commentary made the night because the way he was just discussing it when they gave us the lamb, he said, this lamb had a tough life. I was like, I cannot sit next to this man in my intoxicated stupor and this is hilarious. And then when the pineapple came, you know, obviously y'all know me. Everyone in the group knows me. I'm very like picky with my food. I was kind of like, you know what? I'm gonna try it. And I could just see everyone's face as they like bit into it. It was like, yo, hold up, wait a minute. Bump the steak, bump the chicken, bump that lamb, that tough lamb that had a hard life, did a life of crime, whatever. This pineapple, this grilled pineapple, I'm gonna need you to bring us some more. And the guy was like, oh, you know, we got more desserts. He was like, bump the desserts, bring us some more of that pineapple.
And I wanted the dessert.
Yeah,
it's okay, bro. You...
I know, I was very sad. I was like, where's the other food? I sat here for 2 hours.
So,
yeah,
it was so good though. We had like, what was it, cinnamon?
Yes.
Was it? Yes. Oh, didn't you use tahini?
Nah, it was cinnamon.
Okay.
It was real sweet. It was perfect.
So fast forward to the next day. I recover and I come back down the stairs. We're like, okay, we're up early in the morning. We're getting breakfast. Phenomenal. Omelets. You know what it is. You know the vibes. We never miss breakfast on these trips because you know them omelets be hidden.
That's the best part of any type of trip.
Dog, the food was phenomenal. Breakfast
was phenomenal.
Yes. So we roll up there and then we decide we schedule our massage, did all the whole thing. Shebang. We're good. So we end up changing, coming back down to the pool, some other stuff happening. Oh no, that's when something happened and we went down to the pool and that's when y'all had the photo shoot.
So we were trying to go to the beach. We were walking to the beach. And then I don't know where you were. But we were walking and we were waiting for Mr. Smith. So me,
and the rest of us.
Three ladies. Mm. We were there, and then all of a sudden, we went up to the swim-up bar on the other side, because there's a back side of the bar, and we wanted to get a drink while we were waiting for Mr. Smith to arrive.
Right.
So, we got our drinks, and then the guy, the photographer, was like, I take your picture, and I was like, oh, this is really like a cruise. Sure. And, you know, some great pictures, and then Brother X appears.
So, what happened was, I needed to get us towels for the
people. Oh, that's what happened.
Yes. And at some point, again, at this point, I'm starting to get lifted. I'm on a few. I got a few drinks in there, so I'm in the clouds. Like I'm touching a couple of clouds. I'm playing patty cake with them. So needless to say, we end up on the beach. We got a couple of beach chairs. We chilling, vibing to the music. Somehow, I end up with a random coconut. Don't know where I got there. Don't remember.
You bought it at the bar.
Did I buy it at the bar?
We took our pictures.
Oh. Oh, wow. I was really in the clouds. All right. So, oh, yeah. Yeah. And at some point, the coconut fell over. I was very sad. Myself and one of the other people on the trip both lost our coconuts.
Was accidentally knocked over.
It was a sad time. But yes, RIP to that coconut. So from there, basically, we were chilling out. Had a good time. We chilling out there. We were trying to discuss. Ended up buying some cigars, had some vibes. So from there, we decided to go, okay, let's go get some food. Well, not get food. We went back to the swamp bar. We're going to order some food, or everybody's going to get something to eat. We're going to go to lunch.
First day.
Yeah. Man. So we got some food, chilling. Then we ended up coming back to the swamp bar, and we got a hookah. Yeah. Now, listeners,
we were kind of in the man's space, because I feel like you're going to bring up the man. So we were in his area. Right. He was nice.
Yeah, so we were smoking hookah. Everything was cool until the hookah got knocked over. And again, I'm going to stop being around hookah because it seems to end badly for her, either myself or certain things. But that's a story for another day. So what ended up happening is we move over to one of these little pool chairs or whatever. And we're trying to light these cigars. We smoke and we have a good time. We're in another country. And then what proceeded to happen next, listeners, I need you to know, I think I might have figured out the cure to racism.
This is all before hookah.
Oh, it was before. Okay, so I have my story out of order.
He gave the man the cigar.
I got it. So what happened was, before the hookah, we had the cigars we were trying to smoke, but we didn't have a lighter. Couldn't find it on the resort at the time. We couldn't get in the light. So this gentleman, this is why I ordered gentleman, basically, we asked him, hey, do you mind we get a light for a cigar? So he's like, yeah, of course, cool.
Are these chairs free?
He was like, cool. Yeah, he was just being very polite, helping us out. Good dude. So we are drinking, smoking the cigars, having a good time. And then the group was like, yeah, we should give him a cigar. You know what I mean? He helped get us light, cool. Like telling us how to make sure the cigars smoke right, all that stuff.
I'm also just concerned because we are literally in his area. Like, we're in his space.
Like, we basically Bogart. We Christopher Columbus, the seating area next to him. So, we go ahead and give him a couple of our cigars. We're like, oh, cool. And he was like, oh, thanks. Yeah, we're just vibing. Because I think he ended up having, one of those little swim-up pool little cabanas. Which was fire, by the way.
I want one.
We're going to have to get one next time we go there. So, we're chilling there. Maybe, 5 minutes later, the same dude walks up with a full bottle. Listen, I need you to understand, the bottle hadn't even been opened yet. Bottle of Absolut, and hands it to me.
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say
what?
Say what?
Say what? Mrs. Smith, Coach Sizes, I need y'all to verify this. The look on my face of pure, for me?
Whatever your happiest, shock feeling you feel, picture that for yourself, and that's how Brother X looks.
Because in my mind, I'm thinking oh, he's giving a shot. I'm like, okay, it might be questionable. I said I don't know this person, but he seemed cool. He was like, no, this is for you. He gave us a full bottle of Absolut vodka. In that moment,
give him more cigars.
And we was like, yo, we gotta give him one of the big cigars. And then in that moment, I realized I solved racism with a cigar and a bottle of Absolut.
Is that what happened?
Yes, that's exactly how I want to tell our children. Okay. So, fast forward that. Good times had. We go have dinner the next night. I think that was the Brazilian. Was that the Brazilian steakhouse?
Brazilian Steakhouse was the first night.
I'm sorry, the Japanese Steakhouse.
Yeah, that was the third night. Yeah.
The second night we went to the seafood joint.
Oh yeah. Yeah, the second night we went to the seafood joint.
Yeah.
Mr. Smith and Miss Bellin went up the stairs that night because apparently that happened almost every night for everybody.
Somebody
did.
Except for us. Like, well, except for me.
I realized that I was.
Except for me.
I was. Yeah. No, you was a main character on the show. I was just a reoccurring guest. So we go to the seafood place. It was okay. Nothing like too crazy to talk about.
It was more adventurous.
Our server tried to give us these big ass like champagne flutes of tequila. I was like, oh, for you guys, yeah, it's this. It was like, dog, ain't no way we drinking this.
He said Mexican apple juice. I legit was thinking that there was apple juice mixed with the tequila.
Dog, she said that, I was like,
straight tequila.
Not the smooth
champagne flute. Almost half full. Dog. What the fuck? That's all.
Yeah. So that happens. Fast forward to the next night because Mr. Smith, Miss Bellin went off somewhere.
No. So our electricity failed in our room. That's what happened.
Oh, y'all got to cut out the episode? Yeah. That's what happened.
Yeah. Exactly.
I written off the show for an episode or two.
We went up them stairs and then come back down.
Yeah. So Friday rolls around. We're eating breakfast, of course, like we always do, after we get that bomb-ass massage. And literally from there, we decide, okay, we're going to meet up. We're going to figure out if we'll potentially do jet skis or just go to the swimming pool. So we're chilling there. We're vibing. Drinks are had. Again, everybody up in the clouds. We're having a good time. And, oh boy, who, shout out to Kelsey, he was rolled up. And I might have the days wrong, but fuck it. I'm telling the story. So he rolls up in what would be considered the Hoochie Daddy Supreme shorts. So we're not going to talk about that. You don't let the facts get in the way of a good story.
He was twerking. He won the twerk contest.
This white gentleman, we're in the Hoochie Daddy Supreme shorts. He did the little hand motion that Dr. Strange does, and he won the twerk contest. Don't know how he did it, but more power to him. So it was just a good time. I feel like I'm missing something. Did I miss anything, Mr. Smith, so far?
Yeah. One, shout out to Jorge in the Star Class bar with the Bob Marley.
The bar, Jorge's bar?
Exactly.
And we're talking about the main Jorge because there's a lot of Jorge.
And we're not being racist. No, literally racist. His name was Jorge on his badge.
Yeah, and there's at least five of them on the resort. But the one that has his own bar that he comes in the afternoons at the adult side lobby. Them Bob Marleys are fire.
The mojitos?
Oh, yeah.
Them shit's he's fire.
I feel like he was definitely over us.
Yes, very much so.
We tipped him. He was fine. Secondly, shout out to the club that was on the resort, which I think he was going to get ready to get to. Me, Miss Bellum, and the two of our other friends went there the first night when everybody else kind of crashed for the night. And the DJ, I guess because the dance floor was empty, he kind of did play to the crowd. He played hip-hop music, which was great. He played like 50 Cent and all that stuff. The problem is, listeners, you know when you go to a club and like the DJ can like mix the first verse and then it gets to the second, like the first part of the second verse, and then they'll mix to another song and like the transition's great and you don't like get energy doesn't drop. This DJ played the whole song. Like there should be no reason I'm listening to What Up Gangsta by 50 Cent and we're getting to the whole third verse and then you go to the next song. I don't need to hear No Problem by Scrappy and listeners, when have you ever heard Back That Ass Up the entire, and I mean extended version with the whole after you back it up? Yes. So it's like, okay, we tired. We ain't 24 no more. Like you gotta cut some slack. So the DJ, we left that place saying, we don't know if the DJ was good or trash. We were so confused. Leaving
stripper. And you need a job, and you don't want to like actually like strip, but you can strip a little bit and do a cute little dance and make a little money.
So pole dancer.
Yeah, you can go work there.
Yeah.
So getting back and putting the hat back on, getting back in the driver's seat of this story. So we're gonna get back in. We don't get back into it.
He just took it back from you, Mr. Smith?
I mean, you know, basically he just deboed me like, I do, but I want some of his money. Like, goddamn.
Well, I mean, I could just slide in there like you slid into the club that one night. That you oh, you thought I wasn't going to talk about that. Yeah, listen, Mr. Smith has a history of not being able to stay on his feet while he's at certain all-inclusive resorts. This particular time, when we actually made it to the club after the Japanese steakhouse, which shout out to, you know who you are with that shot with the worm in it. It's supposed to help you with certain things. You know who we need to ask whether it worked or not? We're going to move on. All right, get back to the club. So we're in there. I joined the group a little bit because I end up going up the stairs again for a little bit, but I rejoined the group. So after seeing the pole dancer, she's dancing, doing her thing. They're playing some black music. So DJ is feeling the vibe. He sees it up there. He's like, oh, I got you. So Mr. Smith goes off to a little bit. He hears the song, Back That Ass Up, Come On. My man sprints from across the upper level, from outside to right where we were. And he's getting ready to dance with Miss Bellum. When I tell you, my man did a baseball slide into second base, he almost took himself out. And the crazy part about it was, everybody else is dancing. I see it. I seen it.
I saw it.
Damn near fell out on the couch crying, laughing. That's how hilarious that shit was.
Yeah. So, no one warned me that there was a wet spot and I thought I could plant.
Oh, no.
Go that way.
Oh, no. Shit's lit. So we there, chilling in the club, having a good time. End up going on a random walking adventure to figure out where some things were on the resort.
What's wrong with that?
We never went on. We never did go to that mini golf place, did we?
Nope.
No, I mean, technically,
a lot of stuff on the resort,
but you're right. Technically, we did, we just never used it because we went there. That was when we were trying to find the beginning of the Lazy River.
True. Okay, yeah. So we did that. Next day, we actually went into town, went to this bomb ass restaurant where one of the servers had drinks on his head. We did some shopping, did some tourism. Although we do wish we actually went to like the actual flea market side, like we were driving back
and when
we
had. Pyramid.
Or the pyramid, yes. That I forget the exact
name.
That's
the only thing
I don't want to put. I forget the name, but we didn't get to do that. But got to do some good shopping. Got back to the resort. Then ultimately culminating that last day we were there before we had to leave, fly out the following day. We actually got to wake up, did breakfast. Got to do the Lazy River again. We're offloading like Cheerios in a bowl of milk. It was just a good time. So this is all in all, I would say I had a phenomenal experience. Food was cool. Shout out at the breakfast.
And I said fill up on breakfast.
Please do. if you can, you go into that place, check out the Italian restaurant. Shout out to the people who we got to go with that night because that Italian, phenomenal.
Okay, on that real quick.
Yes.
Me and Brother X are very different with flavor, like yes. Eating. So the people we decided to go with, they are more adventurous than us.
Right.
And Brother X accidentally ordered a...
It's like antipasta?
Antipasta, basically a charcuterie board.
Oh, the antipasta, yes.
And he got it, and I was like... When he ordered it, I was like, oh, okay. I didn't say nothing. And then he got it, and he didn't want it.
I realized very quickly, I was like, oh, I'm not probably not going to eat this. But I don't want to go waste.
But our fellow dinner mate...
Right.
...are really adventurous, and they were eating raw meat and... gazpacho and making sandwiches out of nothing. So I'm over here like, that tastes good? He's like, yeah. I said, all right, now dip it in that.
Dog, she performed a food experiment on our fellow dinner guests.
I did.
She exposed them to all these different things. Dog.
They were already doing it. I just was watching them and I was like, oh, I wonder if they add this or dip this.
Dog, that pizza
was phenomenal.
Fire. The pasta, like I had the ganache.
Fire.
Dog. You want to add like the pepperonis from the pizza to the ganache? Fire.
We didn't do that.
Oh my goodness. Dog. It was probably the best meal that we had that night. Just nice. Phenomenal. Good time.
Yeah. It is kind of interesting that the last night was the best meal for dinner though on both sides. Y'all with the Italian, me and Miss Bella with the steakhouse. She was fire.
Yeah, man. So it was good, man. But all in all, great experiences, great trip. We'll definitely do it again. You learn. As you travel more, you learn different tricks. You learn things. Learn about the fucking spa. I'm still mad about that.
I think all three of us are like, why didn't you tell us?
Because he was enjoying it.
That's he was why. Like, I didn't think I needed to. I thought you guys just knew.
Because it wasn't clear. Like, I saw that, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah. And listeners, maybe one day we'll tell some more. Maybe do a black box episode of this trip. But this honestly, man, it was just good. And like we saw before, travel out the country. Find good travel mates. Mm-hmm. Have a good time. Fellowship with good people. I guess the transparent moment is just enjoy that pineapple, though.
Yeah, listen, listeners, listen. Mr. Smith, is going back in September to same resort. I will have the pineapple for all of our group, as well as the spa and the lazy river. I am taking all the lessons that we have learned in this trip and applying it in September.
Yeah, man. Travel. So, with that being said, guys, we're going to go ahead and close out this episode. I know we took it up a lot of different places. I didn't even realize how far we're going to take things. But you can always check us out on the following, on our Twitter at TheTNTPod123 on Twitter. I'm going to get better at being active on there. Truth and Transparency Pod on Instagram. The Truth and Transparency Podcast on Facebook. Little sneak peek. We actually, Mr. Smith, am I allowed to say it now?
Yeah, it'll be up by the time this episode comes out.
So we're actually going to be having a TikTok where you're going to be able to see some of the preview of some of those episodes. We're going to expand our social media. So you check us out on TikTok. The TikTok username will be in the show notes, so you can check it out there. And you can always email us or contact us at our email at truthandtransparencypod123@gmail.com. And for Mrs. Smith, the culture scientist, myself, for all of our listeners and supporters, and for that pineapple dough, if this podcast gets no bigger than what it is right now, they are forever grateful. We are forever grateful. We're going to get some more grilled pineapple. And with that being said, guys, we'll catch you guys next week. Peace.
Later.
But wait, there's more. Hang on to your seat, baby, because this one's a screamer.
So, one thing that we forgot. So apparently during one of the last few days that we're on the trip, I forget which one. I was drunk.
It was the last day.
Okay, so on the last day, we were just drinking, everybody hanging out by the pool, chilling, relaxing, shooting some b-ball up outside school. So we're just there, and then we happen to be chilling, and we happen to know.
We're just chilling.
Mind our own black business. On our chairs, just enjoying all the sun rays and everything. So we noticed that a couple, a younger couple, is getting very close, like almost in the biblical sense. Matter of fact, it was in the biblical sense.
I'm pretty sure.
So, as we notice, as they are getting closer, there was no room for Jesus. Just put that out there. So you just started seeing them turn. And the young lady is now up against the side of the pool.
That's not what happened.
I'm telling you. Would you like to tell?
I have the video.
We can't show the video on the recording.
She didn't turn around. She kept getting closer and kept pulling her up. And he kept lifting her up. She never turned around, so she stays in the pool.
You sure? Because I remember being up against the wall at one point.
I'm sure.
Okay. So, needless to say, they're getting close, and she's being lifted. And you just see the expression on her face change, give or take. So, So, they decided they were to have some intimate time while in the pool.
I figured since you want to be in my face, they may not have actually had sex. But that's what it looked like.
Think somebody was playing, at least playing
or at
in
least
the DJ.
Playing with something.
I was like tickling some keys or playing with the cootie cat.
So yeah, me and my partner in crime for the day decided to talk trash. And I was leaning there and I put my camera up. You gonna be in my face? It's your fault.
Mind you, I'm still drunk, so I don't realize that they're saying these things.
Oh yeah, we were talking a lot of stuff.
I'm here. I like. Apparently, after that, I'm like, y'all said all that. Like, dog, where was I?
But I was asleep.
Oh yeah, no, you would sleep either that or you went off to the spa at that point.
Oh no, I was asleep. I was.
Oh
I
yeah,
was,
you were.
I was. I
bet you were.
And that's fine. I stand beside it.
Oh, you lay beside it is what you did.
Oh,
That too.
On it, near it, around it. Yeah. All right.